football on off the ball.
I've won a lot of penalties in diving, yeah. Yeah, quite a good few, yeah.
It's like the Lance Armstrong. The interview.
Oh, like if Farr was around when I was playing, I wouldn't have had a career. That's how good I was at the...
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in Mike Hankey, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hello, hello. You're very welcome along to Word on the Street. I'm Susanna and I'm here with Rachel. We don't have our normal Eve today because she is busy recording bits with our new F1 podcast. She had Roman Grosjean on this morning, which was incredible, and that is available for free in all of our podcast networks. So definitely go give that a listen. But we do have a different Eve with us today. Eve McMahon, we're delighted to have you in. We're two-time under-21 world champion and who has just added a first Grand Slam senior win to her resume with a gold for Ireland in the ILCA 6 class at the Trofea Princess Sofia Regatta in Mallorca.
A tongue twister.
It's a long title. Eve, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome in. You're the first Irish female sailor to win a senior world championship. And I think the first medal at this event in like a decade or
in
something.
10 years, yeah.
That's incredible. Has it sunk in?
I came back and I was on my high, and then you kind of get back into training and you're kind of just back to your normal routine and into lectures and into university, and then we're flying tomorrow to the second Grand Slam series. So it's kind of, everything's moving on, which is quite nice as well.
Yes, you barely get a moment to relish.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it was an incredible event. It was like one of the most prestigious events in sailing, and to be there and competing at the highest level and to come away with a gold medal, it's incredible. And then to hear those stats the first time in 10 years and the first Irish female sailor to win a gold medal, I think any medal at this event, it's incredible. And I had an event of my life, and yeah, it was an amazing experience for me.
People keep saying prestigious. Why is it such a prestigious event?
It's one of the only events. So first of all, it's the first event of the season. So it's the first time everyone comes back from their winter training. Half the people go to Australia, people stay in Europe, and you do your winter training for 3 to 4 months, and it's the first check-in. And it's also one of the biggest events because all the different classes of boats, not just the ILCA 6, not the boat that I sail, but every single class of boat is there sailing on the Bay of Palma de Mallorca.
Wow.
We had record number of boats, 148 boats sailing, and it's just an absolutely incredible event because it's the first time that everyone's back together again, and you're sailing in front of one of the most incredible cathedrals in the world as well, and that's where the prize giving is. So it's, they always say if you want to win a gold medal, that's the place to do, because you have your prize giving ceremony in front of this amazing cathedral. So yeah, that's why it's one of the most prestigious events.
That's amazing.
Is there a real sense of everyone feeling each other out because you haven't seen each other in so long? Like, are you getting the side eye from everyone?
Yeah, well, like, you know, you come back and you've got people coming back from Australia, so you've no idea what they've been doing. And, you know, all the groups are kind of closed, so people are kind of, everyone goes for like a month for training because it's such an incredible spot to sail. And you're kind of racing against each other, doing little training races, but then people are kind of holding back, and then everyone is obviously putting in all their skills then when the competition starts. So there's definitely a little bit of keeping an eye out for everybody and seeing what everyone's been doing and see who's made the biggest jumps and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, we should mention that for people who might not know, the ILCA 6, it's a single-handed dinghy, right? And it's the women's, it's the official...
Women's Olympic class.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So you would have raced in the ILCA 6
during
for how
Paris.
Long now?
Oh, I moved in when I was really young. I moved in when I was 12, which is very, very young.
But I was still in toppers at 12.
It was too young, to be honest. But I just really wanted to get a sense of it. I wanted to start training with the best. So I've been sailing since I was 12, so a really, really long time.
Yeah, that is long. Was it a stacked fleet? You mentioned that it was a record number of competitors in the ILCA 6 class. Was it quite a stacked fleet in the competition?
Yeah, the fleet was really experienced. Like, I'm up against girls who are on their fourth Olympic campaign. Wow. The bronze Olympic medalist from Paris was there we had loads of the previous world champions there and European champions, and we had the reigning world champion there. So it had absolutely everybody. We weren't missing a single person. So that was pretty cool, just to be able to see all the hard work from my winter training paying off, knowing that I'm racing against absolutely everybody who could potentially be at the Games.
Yeah. What are your expectations then going into an event like that where you haven't seen anyone's form, you know the best of the best are there? Do you set your sights on gold straight away?
Yeah, I mean, I was always hoping to medal. I mean, last year I had a bit of a weird year. I started my year out, I struggled a little bit because I was like working with my new coach and I was picking up penalty after penalty after penalty, which was ruining my events. And I was like, right, this year I'm going to like really get a hold of it. And I had the most amazing winter block. Like I worked really hard and we had such a solid, consistent winter block. And we do these little winter training events, which they really don't mean anything, but it's just good for me to check in. But you're not checking in against every sailor, it's just whoever happens to be there. We were doing a lot of our training in Lanzarote, so a lot of people were going to Lanzarote, and I was doing really well at the training competitions. I was winning a lot of them or joint first place. So yeah, I had huge expectations on myself because I knew that I could deliver, but obviously I was missing quite a lot of the girls during the winter training, so I didn't know who else was making the big jumps. But I was really happy with the progress that I put in, and My goal was to have a very clean event and not ruin my events with these penalties that I was picking up last year. Like last year, I finished 14th at this event. So to go from 14th to first is... And I knew I could do it. I knew I just had to race cleanly and, yeah.
That's really interesting. Talk to us about racing cleanly, because I saw Vasily, I think that's your coach's name, yeah. Is it? He was talking about one penalty that you got at this event, which was... something to do with rocking the boat too much, was it?
Yeah, I always say that they're harsh penalties, but this one was a harsh penalty. You're up against umpires. There's three umpires on the water, and each umpire boat has two umpires on it. So you have six people watching you, but they're not just watching you, they're watching the entire fleet. But I stood out like a sore thumb because I was wearing... So people who are in medal positions that day have to wear a certain colour bib. So okay. I was wearing a bright yellow bib. I was like a ray of sunshine on the race course. And I knew that they'd be looking at me, which is just normal in sailing. And I was sailing the boat exactly how I do in training. I was going really quick and the yellow flag went up, which means somebody's going to get a penalty. I didn't even think twice. I was going, brilliant. I'm in a brilliant position. I was third in the race at the time. I was going, great, someone else has got a penalty. And the next thing they're shouting at me saying that I got a penalty. I couldn't believe it, but it just happens in sailing. Like it's a hard sport because, you know, some jury would give you the penalty, others juries wouldn't. So it's hard, but that's just sailing. And that's what I love about it. You know, you get these little challenges. But we spoke to the umpires. We were very respectful to them. We got their feedback and we changed the little bit that I had to change for the next couple of races. But obviously, I was under a bit more pressure because none of my other competitors had the yellow flag, which is a penalty. So if you get one, it's not that bad. You just have to take a quick like penalty turn. But if you get a second, you get disqualified from your race. So I knew that I could not get a second penalty. So I was under the pump for the next couple of races.
Yeah. In that same, when he was talking about that one, he spoke about kind of it's a balance of you have to take risks and kind of live on the edge a little bit in order to win races. But then you have to sail clean, as you said. How do you strike? How have you gone about, I suppose, over this winter, finding that balance?
Yeah, it's all... I've just always kind of said to my coach, I want to push the rules. All of the top girls are pushing the rules. You have to be on the limit. And of course, there's going to be some times where you're slightly over the limit. But for me, it's just about trying to blend in and trying not to stand out, because I think that's what was happening last year. In my opinion, I felt like I was within the rule, but I was standing out so much because I was doing really aggressive movements that maybe not the smoother girls were doing the same thing, but it just didn't stand out as much. But of course, with that penalty, I was shining like there was no tomorrow with the yellow bib on, so it was hard to not kind of stand out.
Yeah, so it's a little bit coy.
Yeah, do you get a warning before you get the penalty so you can try and suss what the umpires are going to be like that day? Because like, that's really difficult if...
Yeah,
it's up to discretion.
You just have to go with your own judgment and try and see if they're watching you and have your eyes out. And yeah, there's loads of different elements to sailing that not a lot of people kind of understand. And you really have to have your eyes open all the time. You're looking for wind, you're looking for your other competitors, you're looking to see if the umpires are watching you. Just absolutely everything's happening in a race.
Do you do that turn then just immediately?
Yeah.
As soon as you see it, you're just like, turn, keep going.
So you do like a circle, which obviously loses you time and distance. So you do like two circles which made
two,
and it made me drop from third to sixth in that race. But it's not a lot, but every point in sailing counts.
Yeah, I presume all the arguing isn't the right word, but disputing the decision, that all happens then afterwards. On the water, you just do as what they say.
Yeah, I was so confused by the penalty, and my coach just said, right, listen, I'll go speak with them and see, because I was fuming. So I was like, I'll blow my head at them if I go and speak with them. So he was like, right, I'll have a quick chat with them and see. And he just got their feedback, and we have to change whatever their feedback is. You have to take it on board at the end of the day to always progress and be a better sailor.
And can that, sorry, last question on the penalties, can that change, like the feedback, can that change at each event? So one umpire might see it one way, and yep, the next one you might get completely different feedback, and you have to sail a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. And their kind of time and distance, like the umpire's time and distance is always changing. Like they might say, okay, you can't do this for another 10 seconds, but then another umpire might be fine if you do it straight away. So it's always, it just depends on the umpires that are on the water. But they really try and be as consistent as possible, but obviously, you know, each one is different.
Yeah, that's a real added layer.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about, you said that this was the first Grand Slam event. So it's a circuit, and I think there's five events on the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
What? How does that work, and why does this, I saw a lot of people saying that this is like a great step towards LA 2028. Why does this matter in, I suppose, the LA context?
Well, it was practically like a world championships. And like I say, like I was racing against all of the best boats. And it's just a really great start to the season. So it just shows that all the winter training has paid off. And one of our other, so it's like a Grand Slam series. And one of the other events or competitions is in Los Angeles. So okay, that is, I won gold there last year. And I loved training on the waters in LA. So it just means, obviously, if I won in Palma, it obviously means that the next ones as well, I've got my eye on the medals as well.
Okay, sorry, I thought you wanted to jump in with something about LA. Yeah. I saw something in your notes.
Just like a flicker behind my eyes when anyone mentions LA and the Olympics. What is it about it that you love so much?
Oh, well, first of all, hats off to Irish Sailing. We have an amazing setup there. A lot of sailors are struggling with accommodation. It's obviously quite expensive. It's quite far away from home. But when I go to LA, it feels like I'm at home. So we have like an Irish-American family who are really helping us. So we're staying with them, and the accommodation is absolutely amazing. And the sailing, it's like the most beautiful conditions you've sailed on. There's always wind. You go to places where you're really relying on the conditions, and it's kind of touch or go if you're going to have nice wind, or it's super tricky conditions, or you're waiting around a lot on the water. But LA is one of the most efficient places for sailing. You go out, it's like magical wind, really nice conditions. The wind kind of builds all day, so it's like you really have to be an all-round sailor, because it's quite light in the morning time, and then the wind builds as the land heats up. It's like a thermal effect. It's like a weather thing.
And God, I remember learning that back in the day. It's like junior
sea breeze.
sailing, the sea breeze. You had to draw the diagrams.
Exactly. So the wind is always increasingly getting better and better as the day. So you might start your first race in light winds, then second race in medium winds, and it's literally like that. It's like Goldilocks, and then your third race in like nice strong wind. So you have to be a real all-round sailor, which is what I absolutely love about it. Yeah.
Is that, I read somewhere that you've gotten a lot more consistent in stronger winds, and that LA has quite strong winds. Is that something you've been working on with kind of half an eye on the Olympics in 2 years' time?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my goal is always to be a consistent sailor. I really feel like if you're relying on a condition, you're in a bit of trouble, because, you know, your confidence drops when that condition isn't going your way, or if you're getting a light wind event and you're a heavy wind sailor, your confidence drops a little bit. So I always want to be really hard to beat on the water. And to be like that, you have to be a consistent sailor. So worked really hard on my fitness. And yeah, I'm quite strong now in the breeze, which is great. I mean, I've always been strong, but there was girls who were stronger, which I hated, obviously. And obviously there's some girls who are a little bit heavier than me or a bit taller than me. So I worked really hard during the winter, and I had a great training group. I'm training with the British Olympic team, and we're probably one of the most, I would say we're one of the best teams in the world in terms of how great like all of the sailors are in the team. So we've got one person who's really, really strong in heavy winds. So to have a group like that, it's great.
How do you do that? How do you go about preparing yourself better for all forms of wind? Is it just like gym work, getting stronger for those heavy winds? But then how do you avoid getting too heavy so that in light winds yeah. you're not slowed down.
Yeah, there's always an optimum weight in the boat that I sail, and we're not weighed or anything like that, so we can be whatever weight we want. But of course, there's like a solid weight that we all, like the whole entire fleet, is in and around. So there's not much of a weight difference between all of the girls, and it's more just relying on your fitness then. And we just pick our venues. So Lanzarote is known for big wind, big waves, and really consistent wind and waves. So we would go there for the winter, and we got literally 2 to 3 months of strong breeze every day, all day, same conditions.
Hard work, I'd
say. Exactly.
Interesting. The racing then itself, so you had 11 races throughout the week. You won one and then three second place finishes. Sorry. So you were second going into that final medal series on the Saturday. You spoke about consistency earlier. How did you kind of feel you were going all week? Did you know you were hitting those peaks that you needed to be going into finals day?
Yeah, I mean, I was really consistent throughout the event, and it was actually the first time we were trying a new format. So World Sailing have introduced a new format. So the first 2 days was like a qualifying series, and that basically got the girls into gold or silver or bronze. So obviously you're aiming to get in gold fleet because that's the top 50 best girls in the world. And then the next 3 days is you race the best 50 girls for the 3 days. And obviously that racing is a lot harder. So you really want to be consistent in that kind of racing. And then the final day is the medal race day, which is only the top 10 boats. After all of those races, only the top 10 boats go into the medal race day. And that's two races. And you just race against the top 10 girls to get your medal position. But what was really interesting about this event was I was fighting against my really good friend, Daisy, who's a British sailor. And also, just as I mentioned, I train with the British Olympic team. So she's been my training partner for about a year and a bit now. So we know each other inside out. And on the final day of the Gold Fleet racing, so the fifth day, we had three races scheduled that day, and we both had two really good first two races. And I went to my coach, I was like, brilliant, I'm in a medal position now, I can just have a really nice race, I've been sailing so well today, so had she. But I was like, I was happy with her, I knew that the two of us would be in medal position. And the girls who were behind us, third, fourth, fifth, they didn't have the best day, so we were on fire that day. And I was like, great, now I'm just going to have a nice race. And then next thing, I could not believe it, but she came after me in the last race, and it completely threw me off. And fair play to her, hats off to her. I didn't see the move coming, and it's really not common in sailing. And that's why I think all of the coaches, all the competitors were going, what is going on here? So she started the match race and the fighting before the medal race, which is not common.
What does that mean? What does it mean she came after you?
So basically it means that she disregards all of the other 50 girls who are racing, or 49 girls or 48 girls, excluding me. And she basically was just focusing on me and trying to do everything possible to make me have the worst race. So we were like, both of us got like two top fives in the first two races. And you're able to discard your worst race out of your entire series. So my worst race was a 14th and her worst race was an 8th. So if she could get me outside of 14th, over like in that race, then I'd have to count my 14th and she'd only have to count an 8th. Okay. And that's a big points difference. So she came after me and I was screaming at her going, what are you doing? And then I was going, oh my God, she's trying to make me use my 14th place so she can get a points difference. And I got out of it really well. And then I just messed up one of my mark roundings, which meant then I was outside my 14th position finishing that race, which mean then I went from first going into the final day to second, and she had 5 points gap on me from gold to silver going into the medal race series, which is a big gap. So instead of there being 1 to 2 points, she now had 5 points. And I was going, wow, she played that very well, actually.
Okay.
The medal race series then was really interesting because she beat me in the first race. We were obviously going after each other all of the time. And so now she was 6 points ahead of me going into the very final race. And like, there's only 10 boats. So to get 6 boats in between me and her is like, you'd want a lot of magic going on in your boat. And I managed to win the race and I managed to get her down to like 7th or 8th. And yeah, I crossed the finish line and got gold. Couldn't believe it. Yeah.
The drama.
Yeah. Is there something serious drama? Is there something in you that's saying, oh, okay, I see you now because she put that move on a bit early and it's almost like you're forgetting about everyone else in the fleet and it's like, not to quote the Michael Jordan meme, but, you know, I took that personally.
Yeah, yeah. I was livid coming off the water on day five and we were going into the medal series and, like, we were staying in the same hotel. I could barely even look at her just because I knew that she was, like, it was a brilliant move by her and, like, full respect. And we always say, no matter if we train together, no matter if we're great friends, it's like we're competitors on the water. And that's what I love about our training group. And I knew that she laid out all of her cards because she tried this move and it worked, but I just knew that she'd shown all of her cards. So I knew for the medal race series that no matter what, she'll come after me. There was going to be no nicey-nicey, no friends. And we just said, we ate dinner together the night before, actually, and we said, all right, all is fair in love and war, and whatever happens on the water, we don't take things personally. I said, all right, let's do it.
Yeah. Did you talk about it over dinner?
Yeah, we tried to talk about it a little bit, and obviously it's all jokey-jokey. We're trying to get inside each other's head, but it was all like friends, you know? But it was funny that we were having, and we had breakfast together the morning of, but of course we're like, okay, we won't talk about sailing, we'll talk about whatever else, the weather or something else.
Would you, if roles reversed, do you think you would have done the exact same thing to her?
Yeah, I would. I don't know if I would have thought about it to go after her in a like a fleet race with 50 boats. It's like I'm still yet to debrief with my coach and the head coach of Irish Sailing, and we have to run through absolutely everything that happened and see, like you said, if I was in her position, would I do the same? And how she lost her medal, I have to put myself in her position and say, okay, if I was in her position, how would I not lose to me, or, you know?
Yeah, that's so interesting. So it was really unusual.
It was
the
very,
whole situation.
Yeah, completely. And there was loads of other medal races happening. Like I say, there was all different classes of boats. And I think we put on a show, which was great. You know, it's obviously great that the girls are putting on a show and the girls are fighting with each other. So, but it was all fair, and yeah, full respect to Daisy.
Could this be like a new phenomenon then that we see in fleet racing? People match race each other?
Yeah, maybe. I think it was just, it's a coincidence as to how the points worked out and how well we raced at the top of the fleet that we were able to do that against each other. Because, you know, we could have dropped out to 5th, 6th, 7th place. You know, there's all these other girls trying to get into the medal position. But I think we raced such a great final day. The first two races, we were always beside each other rounding the first mark. So I think it was just how well we raced. We were able to then fight in the last race.
Wow. How did you find it within you then to do what you did in that final race to get over the, was it 5 points you said you needed to?
6 points.
6 points.
6 points, and there was only 10 boats there, and obviously you're racing against really good girls. So it was a great day for like a medal series. Like it was, you know, medium winds, so you could catch back if you were a little bit behind. And the course was only like a 15-minute race, so it was a super short course. And we had a 5-minute like sequence before we started, and you're allowed to kind of battle with each other and take each other out before the start. But I knew I couldn't just take her out because I also had to have a really good race. So we were like beside each other and we were battling it out, and I had a great start and she actually didn't have a good start. So I was like, great, this is like a good start already. But she was obviously trying to stay close to me because she didn't have to beat me in that race. She just had to be within 6 points of me or 6 boats of me. And I had a really great downwind, and I managed to like get on the inside of all the boats and she was on the outside of all the boats, and I made one cross on the second lap that she didn't make, and it was like a game of inches. I just made it and she didn't, and she lost out on like 4 or 5 boats, and then I went from around 5th to 1st in that race, and then she stayed and dropped a couple of places. So I couldn't believe it when I crossed the finish line. You can see me in one of the videos, I'm trying to look back, trying to count the boats. I was like, I'm trying to count, but I'm also trying to like retain my first place. I was crossing the finish line, I looked at my coach and he was jumping up and down with joy. So that's when I knew, oh, okay, I can celebrate. And no matter what, I would have celebrated. Like a silver medal at this event is incredible, but gold at the end of the day is the best one.
Are you communicating, you know, when you said that she made that lack of sailing knowledge here, but you know, yeah, that move, and you were like, what are you doing? Are you actually
looking at each other?
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't be looking at each other, but she can hear exactly what I'm saying. And like, we're always respectful as to what we say, but I was going, what are you doing? Like, you're going to ruin it for both of us. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I twigged it, I was like, okay, right, this is her tactic and I need to be able to defend here.
And so, when you get through that small gap to move into first place, are you looking around? Like, just for, you know, for people that don't know anything about sailing, or are you just focused? Are you doing everything for yourself, or are you keeping an eye on all the other boats as well.
I think at that point, I did everything I could to slow her down. And I was going, okay, all I need to do is focus 100% on what I'm doing, okay. Catch every single wave, make no mistakes, keep an eye on the umpires. So I think at that moment, I was just doing everything I could, because I knew I did absolutely everything I could to slow her down. And now it was just whatever I could do to get into the first place position.
What were the emotions like then when you saw your coach? I think your brother was out there as well. Yeah. I saw a hug with him. Yeah. Like when you realised, oh, she's far enough back, I've actually won this thing.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I think there's a lot of pictures of me and my hands on my head. I could not believe it. Like it's such a big thing in sailing for you to make up 6 points in one race. And I said to my coach, he was so nervous before the last race. And he could barely even talk to me because he didn't want to say the wrong thing to me.
Oh.
And I remember in training, I kept on saying to him, oh, do you want to see a magic trick? And I'd just be able to win a race. I don't know why. It's every time I said it. So I said it to him before the last race, not thinking I'd be able to do anything special. And I just think he honestly couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. My brother couldn't believe it. So it was like pure raw emotion crossing that line.
Yeah, that's amazing. Your brother was close, I think, to the medal race himself. What's it like having him there? Like, I feel like whenever I have family at big things like that, it just makes it even more emotional.
Yeah, no, definitely. And he was so close to the medal race, and obviously the racing is so tight. So I think if he was just able to make up a couple of points, he would have been in it, and the two of us would have been racing the medal race at the same day. But he's put in such great training, and obviously then he was out supporting me in my medal race. So it was pretty special to have him watching for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm curious as well. So obviously you were the two-time under-21 world champ, and then have you been 3 years now on the senior circuit, three or four?
Yeah, so last year was my first official year on the senior.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was the year that I came out of under-21s and I was officially a senior fleet sailor, but I've been sailing in the senior fleet since I was 15, which is like mega rare. And like I got demolished when I was 15. I was like last in every race. I wasn't last, but I was just, you know, the girls are so experienced and it really humbles you really quickly. But I was just trying to work my way up, get the experience. And it's so rare to be so young in that fleet. But last year was my first official year, not being a youth sailor and just being a senior sailor.
Okay, wow. Because you were the youngest finalist, I think.
Yeah.
On Saturday in Mallorca. Which is amazing. Do you feel like, I mean, a year in is not actually that long at all. I thought you were 3 or 4 years in, but do you feel like now you're getting to grips with kind of the senior level? Because you won three, I think you had a hat trick of golds.
Yeah, in the youth.
Yes. Yeah. Are you kind of getting to grip now with this standard and feeling like you're able to compete at the top of the fleet?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to be able to race at the top, but also defend at the top. And I think that's quite hard because some of the girls are on their fourth Olympic campaign. They're so used to racing at the top and, you know, not cracking under pressure and being used to wearing these yellow bibs that we wear and just all the different experience that happened just with experience and having kind of time in that fleet. Whereas I don't really have that experience just yet, but I don't really use that as an excuse. I really just see it as a challenge. And I know like people just say that, but it is true. Like a lot of people say, I'm so young and I still have time, but I really don't care about my age. Like I put in so much work over the winter. I train exactly how they train, if not harder in my opinion. So at the end of the day, I truly do believe like I deserve the results. And yeah, just looking forward to racing now. I fly again tomorrow to another one to the south of France. So
gosh,
the test is on.
Not a lot of time in between, is
there? Yeah. No. We've been talking a lot about Rory McIlroy with the Masters and last year, how he seems to just come alive under pressure. It sounds like a pretty similar situation yourself.
Yeah.
Going out, being, you know, the hunter on the final day, but it's much more difficult to be the hunted and that's what you're going to be now, having won this.
Yeah.
How will you adapt your training, having a bit of a, you know, a price in your head and that yellow bib?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think you've got it bang on. Like there was one race where I was wearing that yellow bib and I had nobody to hunt because I was in first position and I was kind of a bit lost on the race course. I don't know who to race here. And I lost out on the yellow bib for one of the days. And I was like, right, okay, now there's two girls ahead of me. And I was in bronze position at this point during the competition. And I was going, right, I have two girls now to hunt and let's get ready to go. But I think I'm settling more into like defending my position and it is quite hard. It's like a mindset change of, okay, now I have to defend my first place or I have to attack on the race course. But I don't think necessarily I'll change my training. It's more just kind of working on being comfortable in the uncomfortable and yeah, just enjoying the pressure and yeah, just getting the experience with it.
What's your edge? Because there must be one. Because I presume it's uncommon to be this young, having so much success. What is it that is different about you, do you reckon?
God, I don't even want smoke up
no,
there.
No, I know, sorry. But the approach, maybe. There must be just something in you that's like warrior-esque.
I think I just have like the intention to be the best. And I was actually in an interview with Andy Farrell, and I think it was... I don't know, I think the Irish rugby team lost out on a couple of matches or something, and there was an after-match interview, and he said that they lacked intention and that they want to have the intent to be the best, and I actually really resonated with that, and that word has been like my driving factor within my winter training. Just the intention to be the best, the intention to do things to the absolute maximum and put in 100%.
Matt, that's, I suppose, what puts, like, differentiates the best from the rest. Is that just drive to be the number one in the world?
Yeah, well, you have to, and you have to be so consistent, and you can't really take your eye off the ball. No pun intended.
What is next then? You said you're flying out Friday again?
Tomorrow.
Did you say? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
gosh.
Yeah. So another Grand Slam, which is in Hyères in the south of France, and that's going to be a really, really nice event. And then we have our European Championships in May in Croatia, and I'll be sitting my final exams in UCD as well in May, so... Oh. Just for
the cherry on top.
I know, I can't wait to get my exams done and final exams, final semester, so it's going to be nice to have a degree now by the end of the summer.
How are you balancing the study and jetting off to various different places every week?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard, but I have UCD and Ad Astra, the scholarship, the Elite Sports Scholarship, and they've been an amazing help, and just to have the support of the university behind me, and I think... they really believe in me, and I think that makes a big difference, and they really try and help me, and they see that I'm really trying to balance the two of them, and it can be really difficult, but they've been amazing help, and the flexibility that they've given me is incredible.
What does that actually look like? Do you study on the road?
Yeah, study on the road. I'm constantly in communication with my lecturers, and just with exams, sometimes I'm able to sit them abroad, or I'm able to kind of resit them at a different stage. They're just really working around my schedule, which makes my life a lot easier for sure.
Yeah. You have, after the Europeans, there's the ILCA World Championships in Dunleary.
In Dunleary.
I only realised that this morning.
I know.
In September. How much are you looking forward to that being a home event?
Oh, it's going to be incredible. I mean, the entirety of June, I think loads of international training partners are coming to Dunleary to train, because obviously in sailing, it's really important to get used to the venue. So all of June, everybody's coming. We're running like a little training regatta with them. And then obviously in September time, it's our World Championships. And it's just going to be great, because I don't think we've ever had a Senior World Championships in Dunleary. So the coverage that's going to be behind it, and to be staying at home for once in my own bed with my own family. And it's also really special for my family and my sponsors and my friends to be able to come out, because we're sailing so much internationally that they never get to see me sail. Mm. So it's really nice just to show how nice Dublin Bay can be, and how... the waters that I've grown up on, and you know, the training that I've done there, and to be able to show it off to everybody, and yeah, hopefully a home advantage.
I was going to say, is home advantage a thing in sailing?
Yeah, I would say home advantage is a thing, just because it's your roots, it's where you grow up sailing. Obviously I grew up sailing in Hoteochla, but I would have done heaps in Dunleary, so you know, no matter what, you're familiar with the waters, you know what the current's doing, all of that, just even the landmarks and everything. It makes a big difference when you're out in the water, knowing your setting.
It's a pretty solitary sport when you're out there. I saw when you had an Instagram post up with the medal, and you had a lot of comments from the likes of Daniel Whiffen and Ellen Walsh, like other solitary athletes, also water-based. Is there a real good community here of like Irish athletes, like Olympians as well?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that was one of my highlights from the Olympic Games in Paris. Like you say, sailing is a bit of a lonely sport, because you're in your boat by yourself. Sometimes in the Olympic Games, like, you're separated, because obviously everyone was in Paris and we were in Marseille. But Team Ireland did an amazing job of having all the athletes together at the opening and closing ceremony. I met so many like people, so many friends. I've made friends for life. And yeah, those people, they're incredible kind of athletes to have by your side, but also to watch their achievements. It's so motivating for me, and they're really inspiring. So to have kind of people by your side, and yeah, it's an incredible kind of atmosphere that Ireland has within their high performance teams. And that's what I love so much about the Olympic Games. And yeah, I'm really grateful for Team Ireland for giving me that opportunity, because we were obviously in Marseille. So we were able to come up from Marseille to Paris for the opening and closing ceremony. So friends for life for sure.
Do you feel a bit of an onus on you to fly the flag for sailing, because it's probably not as much in the consciousness of Irish public as other sports might be?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sailing is a niche sport. I mean, it's an incredible sport, and I'd love to, like, obviously in my home club, I really love promoting it, and obviously women in sport as well. It's such an incredible sport, and I definitely would recommend, even just, you know, starting with the summer courses. That's where I started off, and you don't have to go, you know, hell for leather at the start and try and qualify for the Olympic Games, but just even the small things, you make so many incredible friends, and it's such an international sport that even the friends that I've made from different countries, that's what makes the sport so nice.
Okay, well, we will be following you very closely this year. Hopefully many more gold medals to come. Actually, we didn't show everybody the medal. She has it here in studio. You were saying it looks a bit bronze?
I know, it does look bronze.
No, but it's gold. It's hefty as well.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
Where will that be? Will that go up somewhere?
Yeah, for sure. We have a little trophy room back at home, so it'll go right there.
Will that be pride of the trophy cabinet amongst all your brothers' stuff as well?
I know, yeah. There's like a battle between our family as who can get the most ones. So
yeah, you've got bragging rights at the moment. So.
Yeah, you're winning as we go. Okay, amazing. Eve McMahon, Ireland's first female senior world championship medalist. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, that is all for this week's Word on the Street, and we'll chat to you next Thursday. Chat to you then.
Go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah,
I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.